Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Open Day Lightning Talks. Lightning Talks are very brief talks in which a person is challenged to express something profound in only 3 minutes. We race through them very, very quickly. We have a clock right here. Violence will ensue if the speaker continues beyond 3 minutes. And a sound will ring at the two-minute mark, such as bong, or something like that. You'll recognize that the sound comes from the front here. I've used my desktop background to give you a list of all of the talks that we'll be hearing, the lightning talks. And now I'd like to invite Nathan Bailey up to the front. Here he is, and he's going to talk to us about microphones for geeks.
Thank you, Jeff. Alrighty, for your listening pleasure, I'm going to help everybody learn how to use a microphone. So the first thing is, when people who haven't used microphones before get one, they go and they put it up to themselves, they go, "Eek! I sound really loud. I'll take that far away so you can't hear me." No, if you can hear your own voice, that's good because we can hear your voice too. Secondly, the microphone is actually designed to catch the airflow coming down like this. So it's better to have it against your chin than it is in front of your mouth because you'll sound really breathy. If you want to sound breathy and sexy, that might work. But for clarity, it's better down there. So just up against your chin is the best place for the microphone. Project your voice. The easiest way to project your voice is to pretend you're having a conversation with the person at the back of the room.
Hi, Janet. How you doing?
If you talk like that, it'll come through nice and clearly on the microphone. Just checking for time. Find happy faces and talk to them. So I don't know, hey Cringy, see there's a happy face. I was gonna look for Paul actually, but Paul Fenwick, but he's disappeared somewhere. But yeah, find a couple of happy faces in the crowd and talk to them. That'll make you feel like you're giving a great talk and make you more comfortable. We'll enjoy your talk more. Face the audience, not the slides. While it's great to point things out on your slides, there's actually a lot of communication happening on your face. So if you face this way, we can actually hear you even if you're not coming through clearly with the audio. Watch the back of the room. If the people in the back of the room are looking really confused and strained like this, maybe they can't hear you. So it's always good to have a look at the back. And think of how you're going to start. So when I hand this microphone over to Flame, he's not going to go, hi. He's actually going to start awesomely. He was going to do that. Okay, maybe that's part of his intro. But in general, have a think of how you're going to start. And last but not least, enjoy yourself, and then the audience will enjoy your talk with you. Thank you.
Always good to have a talk about microphones before everyone starts using the microphone. My solution to this is, of course, the lapel mic. And now, Flame, with free geek toys.
Hello? Like this, right? Because that's sexy.
Okay, one of the things that happens when you're a geek is you get all these cool toys and you're going to do something with them one day. So you put them in a box and the box goes in your cupboard. And years and years later, they're still in your cupboard. And you paid money for them or they're really cool, so you can't throw them away. But they're also not really worth the effort of putting them up on eBay and selling them. So what do you do with them? What you do with them is you bring them to the conference and you give them to me. That's it. No. And then we play a game with them. And the game is pretty simple. So I'm going to have a quick demonstration first so you can all see how the game works. I have a 40 gig iPod. Who wants it? You with headphones around your neck. I have a WinFast TV tuner. Who wants it? I have a creative sound card of some sort. Who wants it? Take it that way. I have an AVA 1502i SCSI card. I think it's an ISA card. Who wants it? Yeah, you only don't want it because you don't know what it is. Who really wants it? Anyone? That's what I thought. If anyone actually wants it, it's up here.
Flame, you truly are the winner on that front.
I have a Netgear 8-port fast Ethernet switch. Who wants it? Someone way up the back. I have a microphone. Is there a geek who wants a microphone? You. I have not one, but two USB phones.
Bong!
Am I done?
That's the 2-minute bong.
And the last thing I have is a USB LCD display, which has been lovingly put together. So, how about if I just throw this one? No, better not. Someone in amongst there. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Flame. How many people are here for Open Day exclusively? Not the conference? Hands up, Open Day? Excellent, excellent. All right, Sage AU, Maurice. Oh, yes, sorry. There we go. Can do. I'll do the work in the background over here. Spacebar. You may begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm from Sage. What does Sage do? Well, let's ask the question, what's a system administrator? Do you administer a machine which more other people use? Louder! Okay. If so, you're a system administrator. If things are working and somebody says, gee, our computer's wonderful, and when they're not, they blame you, you are a system administrator. Do your users understand you? Come on, the chorus, please. No! You are a system administrator. So what's Sage? Sage is support for systems administrators. We do this through several ways. There's the website where you can go and find the information. We do this through, we'll skip over this, online communication forums, monthly meetings, and symposiums in an annual national technical conference. If you need help, you go and send an email to our mailing lists. The mailing lists are a wonderful resource. Within a day, you usually get an answer to your technical questions. Personal problems take a little longer. The National Symposium gives you an opportunity to present what you do and to have technical experts come to you. And the regional monthly meetings are a great resource. You get to hear about what other people are doing in your profession and get help when you need it. So, having told you about Sage, you can come out to our table. We're out there for the rest of the day, and we're happy to sign on members. Thank you very much.
Yes, I did. It's open office, so it's going to take a little while.
You may begin now.
I'm here to tell you about OpenStreetMap.org. OpenStreetMap.org is a source of street map data for the world. It's a worldwide project started in the UK. There are some licensing issues around using data from other mapping projects for different fields of endeavour and things like that. So OpenStreetMap is a source of a complete or an attempt to be a complete comprehensive street map of the world. It's reasonably comprehensive. You can see there, particularly in Europe and the US, but significant parts of the rest of the world where people tend to live. But you can help. So it's pretty easy to maintain the data. There's a Flash application on the website, one of the best uses of Flash that I've ever seen. And you just need to know a little bit about the streets around where you live, and you can add to the data that's on there. You get a little copyright notice next to the street, so everybody who maintains data on openstreetmap.org is credited with that data at the highest resolution when you drill right down into it. So at the moment, the data for openstreetmap.org compressed BZ2 file is about 2.5 gigabytes. You can download that, load it into a PostGIS database, and use it with GPS drive or other uses. The data itself is an XML format. It's very easy to process. There are websites out there where you can submit queries against it to get particular types of data out of the database, or to get particular areas or overlays of just the schools or just the elevations of peaks, things like that. So there's a lot of data in there, a lot of information. A very worthwhile project that I think you all should know about, and if you have a spare little bit of time to enter in some information about where you live, the streets around where you are, then it would be much appreciated if you could contribute as well. Thank you very much.
Next we have Pia Wall with OLPC Australia, and after Pia will be Brianna with Wikipedia. Pia, are you in the house? We will wait a little for Pia. Brianna, Wikipedia. Rock and roll. Here you go, I will start you off.
Hello, my name's Brianna. I'm a Wikipedia editor. I'm going to talk a little bit about Wikipedia's colourful past. So as most of you may know, Wikipedia is a website. It's a wiki. It's a site that anybody can edit. Each article has a little history tab and a little edit this page tab, and you can make your contribution to that page. Now, because anybody can edit, you might think that it's a little bit of a free-for-all, a little bit of an experiment in anarchy, but Wikipedia actually has an abundance of rules, although if people don't follow them, it doesn't always work out quite as it's supposed to. So in 2001, the article on colour was started. But not everybody is happy about this, although there's redirects from C-O-L-O-U-R to C-O-L-O-R. Some people still feel that C-O-L-O-U-R should be the only one, the first one, and the ranked right at the top as the absolute one that should be there. So if people don't like this and then they change it to a different spelling and then the original people change it back and then the first group changes it back to with a U and then without a U, you get what's known as an edit war. And this is what it looks like in slides. Until finally someone steps in with a rule. And in this case, this is from the English Wikipedia Manual of Style relating to spelling and specifically national varieties of English. So this is the Wikipedia equivalent of shotgun. If you get there first, you get to choose which variety you use. So the Wikipedia encyclopedia is hosted and kind of not run, but facilitated by the Wikimedia Foundation, which is a US-based non-profit. And there's some of us who are trying to start up an Australian chapter, which would be Wikimedia Australia. We have a table outside at the open day, so come and talk to us if you think that might be interesting. Thank you.
Now we'll invite Pia Wall, who has turned up from behind the curtains here with all the wind blowing. After that, we will have Passion of the Tux. Do you have slides? No, you don't? Okay, excellent. I will start you off in just a moment. First, I'll give you the microphone.
Thanks. Hi, everyone. I'm going to start before he starts. I'm Pia Wall. I'm involved very strongly with the Australian free software and open source community. And I'm also on with a group of people who are establishing a new organisation called OLPC Australia. Now, it just needs to be clear that OLPC Australia is in the process of starting up at the moment, but one of its broad goals is to bring OLPCs to the region. That includes to Australia, to New Zealand, to the Pacific Islands. So if any of you are interested in helping out, oh, by the way, these are the OLPCs, one laptop per child, just in case you didn't know. The whole idea of this project is to get really fantastic technology and education tools into the hands of kids that need them across the region. But we're not just going for disadvantaged communities, although they will be our primary audience. We'll also be hopefully getting them out to any kids in Australia that think that it would be useful. So if you are interested in getting some, we'll be doing some procurement for the region. We'll also be having development teams. So if you're interested in doing development or participating or contributing in any way, please go to olpc.org.au, which doesn't currently exist, but it will in a few days. And you can contact me on pia@linux.org.au. If you Google Pia War, that's like the cricketer, unfortunately, you'll find me fairly easily enough. I guess the core goal here is that it's not really about technology or whether it's open source or not. It's really about getting education into the hands of kids. And so if that's something that's of passion for you or someone you know, please make sure they get in contact. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pia. Now I believe we're having a very special screening of The Passion of the Talks.
I've got something to say.
Rock and roll.
Just before we screen this, oh, hi, by the way, I'm Adam Harvey. I won't embarrass the other people who are involved by pulling them up here just yet because they have suitably embarrassing photos coming up anyway. Just before we do this, I'd like to point out we were really drunk, so... Just pretend you can hear the Tux Racer theme music at the moment. We had a slight audio problem.
That's it?
It will be somewhere, sometime soon. It'll be on Planet Linux Australia, which you should subscribe to anyway.
Ben, there he is. You don't have you don't have slides?
No slides, just me.
Well, what an introduction we had there. I was quite expecting that. For all of you who don't know and have just come in the room and didn't just see that fantastic film, LinuxConf next year is going to be held in Hobart. And, sorry? Was that a yay or was that a louder? It was a yay. We want more yays.
Yay!
Thank you. So, a lot of people are looking for a good excuse to come down to Hobart because it is a beautiful place. It does produce the best beer in the world, without question. Oh, no, it does. You know. It also produces great wine, great chocolate, and if you come up to our little stand upstairs, you can sample some of the fine Cadbury's chocolate that we have there for free, so come along. And of course now it's got a fantastic conference to come to, so we'll see you all down there in 2009, eh?
Tim? Are you doing slides?
I have a slide.
Have you a slide?
I have a slide.
I wasn't giving you a slide.
I think that might be slide.
No, no, that's this.
Uh-huh.
Is it? Magic is happening.
I have a slide. Hi, my name's Tim, and I'm in charge of the gaming mini-conf stand up in the open day. We're down the very, very back, but you can hear the music and the stuff coming from our stand. Okay, so I'm also an open source game developer. I develop open source games. The reason I do this is because, unlike normal games, you can make them do what you want to. I'm not very good at games, to be honest. I'm not got good dexterity. I can't dance, so I'm hopeless at dance games. So I like to make games easier. I make the games slower. So you can do this with open source games. I'd recommend anybody just Google open source games. You'll get like 10 bazillion hits and you can download them. Most open source games work on Windows. So if you happen to be shackled to that OS, you can download and experience free fun. We're up at the back. Come and see us. We have dance mats. We have Frets on Fire, which is a guitar game. We've got multiple ones of that, so feel free to come down. We've also got some cool Wiimote. So you know the remote for the Wii, the thing that you move and things move on the screen? We've hooked up that to games like Tux Racer and other really cool games. So you can come there and you can play Tux Racer with a Wiimote. So I'd like to invite everybody to come down. It's really good. And there are free lollipops and other types of sweets. So it's definitely worth a visit. Thank you very much.
And now, for our final presentation, we have a special presentation from Paul Fenwick, who is going to tell us how we can fix the internet and the World Wide Web. Rock and roll.
Hi everyone. People at the back hear me? Yes, lovely, excellent. Some of you might have heard this before. This is a talk about fixing the web. But really it's a talk about taste. Different people have different tastes. So if you're in the 1970s, you're in Weight Watchers, we hope that you like red cabbage and jello, because that's what they're recommending that you eat. That's about taste. But I discovered that my taste is different. And when I was in kindergarten, I didn't think very much of this picture here. I much preferred this picture, which I drew all by myself. I thought that was much better. When I was in primary school, I didn't think really very much of this document. I didn't find it very exciting. I thought that this document here was much better because I wrote that one by myself. And by the time I'd reached high school, things were not that much better. So, one of the lovely things about being an open source is you can fix things. If you find a piece of software you don't like, you've got the source, you can change it. The same applies for things like public spaces. If you find a public space you don't like, you can change that so it's something more likable. But what about the web? Can we fix the web? Well, we can. There's a great little plugin for Firefox called GreaseMonkey. What GreaseMonkey lets you do is you can run JavaScript, which is a programming language, on any page you want, and you can write that JavaScript yourself. So let's go and fix a web page. But which one should we fix? Well, some of you who have seen this talk would know that we want to fix one that really, really sucks. And for that, I picked MySpace. because I found very few things on the MySpace front page that I actually cared about. So I'm going to show you how we can fix this. This is a bit of JavaScript. Those of you who know JavaScript, you'll figure out what this does. Those of you who don't, it simply says find an element and remove it. It's a very, very simple function. But it needs something called an element ID. I need to tell it which element to remove. In order to find that, I could look inside the HTML source, but if anyone's ever tried that, it's a really scary place. You probably don't want to look in there by yourself. So there's another plugin called Firebug. Firebug makes it really easy to find element IDs. Put very simply, here I've got Firebug running down the bottom. I can use an inspect mode, wave over something in the top frame, and I get the HTML source down the bottom, including any ID tags. So I can use this to remove things from the page. I then go and remove just about everything, and I can turn MySpace from looking like this into like this, which is fantastic. Thank you. If I'm already logged into MySpace, it looks like this, which is even better. So you can do this to really change any page you want, but really most of us are lazy. We don't want to have to write this stuff ourselves. Is there a way we can get other people to write it for us? Well, there is. If I want to have something really cool like BookBurrow, which is a plugin which lets you compare books on Amazon and other sites as you browse them, you can go to userscripts.org. UserScripts is a big... Am I out of time? Thank you very much. No, can I keep going?
Keep going, keep going.
Lovely. UserScripts has thousands of scripts up there. You can see there's my plugin, MySpace for Unsocial Fascist Bastards. You can download that today if you want. But there are more than 14,000 open source scripts up there on userscripts.org. All of them are better than mine. And if you're looking for URLs, go fix the web. There they are. Thank you.